It's Monday, February 23rd, and you're listening to the Three Nerds in a Basement podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Glavin.
I'm Anthony.
This is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the world. This week's episode, we got a review for you today, all about the movie The Kingsman. Talking about some picks, revealing our weeks, and all that other fun stuff. We all hope... You know, I was listening to last week's episode, and we had this debate on what holiday was it in the States.
Yeah.
That mimicked our family day. Turns out it was President's Day.
That's what I said. Wasn't that right? I said President's Day.
Oh, okay. Because I was listening and we couldn't decide on what day it was.
I said it there.
Okay. Okay. You said it.
Sure, go on.
Someone check the tapes.
That's just it.
Oh, okay.
That was...
I had nothing else.
That was uneventful.
Nope.
Good.
That was it. I just wanted to make that correction so that we're not culturally insensitive to all the American listeners out there.
They're culturally insensitive to us.
Doesn't mean we can play that
two
level.
Two wrongs make a right, Vince.
It's okay. No. They don't?
I guess.
No. You're still going straight in the wrong direction.
Yeah, two negatives make a positive.
No. Okay. So, I don't know how to lead into it. Do you guys just want to talk about the Kingsman?
Do I ever?
You guys sound so excited, so we're going to talk about The Kingsman.
Hell yeah.
So check it out. There's this movie called The Kingsman.
The Secret Service.
Came out last week on Valentine's Day weekend, got crushed at the box office by 50 Shades of Grey.
Yo, don't
More like 50 Shades of Garbage. Oh.
Doesn't matter if it makes money.
Not even surprised.
I don't know, though. Even though it got smashed, like, when we went on Tuesday, like, the theater was still...
Yeah, but you didn't see the theater for 50 Shades Grey.
Oh, was it also packed?
It was more packed.
Wait, were you watched it?
No.
Oh. But how would you know?
I just know these things.
What if it was not
I
packed?
Looked at the numbers and made an educated guess.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He imagined the theater in his head, and he's like, all the D-Box seats are sold out.
I thought Vince was just...
All the rest of the seats are sold out.
I thought you were just trying to, like, you know... Do some crazy stuff and just,
No.
You went by yourself to really... Do it... You did it for the... You know, you did it for the fans.
No. Listen. At my heart, I'm a business student. All I do is read numbers. I don't actually go to see the project. I read the numbers, and if it makes sense, it checks out.
It doesn't matter how culturally diverse it is.
Did it
make me money?
No.
Then I'm gone.
If there's no red line at the bottom, I'm good to go. Anyways, Kingsman, okay? So there's this, like, independent British Secret Service who is cleverly... themed around Arthur and the Knights of the Round, and they've been guarding the world since the Illuminati came into play, something like that.
Something.
It's very similar to the Assassin's Creed storyline.
Yeah.
So, just know that. Anyways, story centers around a troubled youth.
Named Eggsy. I couldn't figure out what his name was at the beginning. I thought it was Exy, like E-X.
I kept thinking it was Exia, like Exia Gundam.
He just sat there like, yeah.
And I was just like, that's the best Gundam.
Yeah, just sitting there. So we all know what was swimming in Vince's head.
Yeah, and then they're like, no, it's Exy. Like,
Oh, wait a minute. Before that, did you guys know that Vince is like king of movie trivia?
Yeah, I am.
Because there is this game on that they play at the theater before you start.
I told you guys I was going to win.
It's called, what is it?
It's called Time Play.
Time Play. And Vince predicted that he would win by a large margin. And you know what? He did win by a large margin. But who do you think challenged him immediately?
I got screwed over.
Anthony.
I opened the app and they're like, yo, bro, let's play this
and
first
Anthony
game. And then
wasn't
the app broke.
Even on the board.
Nope.
He was actually quadruple points behind.
I was a game behind.
You're two games behind now.
I was a game behind. You got to play three games to get all your points. I only got to play two games. And I still got a lot of points.
You didn't make it on the board.
Because I didn't get to play the first game.
You know who's on the board?
The app crashed.
TJ made number 9.
Yeah, I know. The app crashed. You guys got to play all the games.
Destroyed.
And that was a sold out theater, man. Full of contestants.
Yeah.
I want a 30% off coupon to Revlon.
Maybe. Now you can get your Gundam makeup now.
Oh, yeah, you can, yeah.
Listen, if the app was better, then maybe it would
It works fine on my phone.
It didn't work fine on my phone.
Anyways, every time that time play comes up, you guys, I'm going to tell you guys right now, I'm always going to win.
And Anthony's always going to be there to challenge you.
No, yeah. one of these movie-going days.
You'll never beat me.
I'm going to dethrone Megatron. And I, Starscream...
one of these days.
I, Starscream, shall hold top reign. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I will be the king.
Anyways, back to Kingsman. So, like I said, Secret Service follows a troubled youth who, guess what? His father was part of this Secret Service.
Oh, snap! You're telling me that to be a secret awesome spy, it's in his bloodline?
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts.
Mm-hmm. And this wise old man comes to recruit him.
Okay, the wise old man is Colin Firth.
Dapper Colin Firth. To recruit him into the Jedi, I mean, into the Kingsman.
A friend of mine was like, oh, is this that movie King's Speech? I'm like, yeah, it's, whoa, wait a minute, you almost got me there. He's like, Colin Firth was in that one.
And then, events ensue, he saves the world.
Yeah.
And that's Kingsman for you.
Yeah. But it's the stuff... during the beginning and end.
Like any great hero's journey, it's all about the journey.
Yeah.
It's all about the style.
Oops. You need to backspace on that sentence.
Yeah. I should have looked up a thesaurus first. But, yeah, so it starts this, like you guys said, stars Colin Firth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a whole host of other famous British actors.
Like and who? Samuel Jackson.
Like Michael Caine.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Caine.
Who else?
Who's the original Lancelot that died?
I don't know. Is he a actor?
Yes.
Really?
Oh. He was the commandant in all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Oh, really?
Yep. There's a lot of people on that Knights of the Round thing that were pretty famous.
Really?
Merlin was...
Oh, yeah, I recognize him.
You'll know him from the Ocean's movies, I believe.
Who was he in that one?
He was the evil casino owner.
Oh, really? Okay,
okay. I don't know. There's a lot of small cameos that I saw. Aside from the large Samuel Jackson role.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Samuel Jackson's character.
Did you really enjoy this movie as well?
I did.
Tell me all about it.
This movie's great.
Okay.
This movie has a great performance by Samuel Jackson. As a man who does not have a lisp, he is very convincing as a man with a lisp. This movie has the most
fire.
Yeah, this movie has the best use of the song Freebird by Leonard Skinner in any movie I've ever seen, or in just any medium period.
Okay.
And, like, oh man, I didn't know that. So, at the end, we learned it was done, the comic was done by the same guy who did Kick-Ass.
Yes.
And I didn't know that going in.
That makes sense.
So now it all makes perfect sense. But as the movie was happening, I'm like, this movie's nuts! Like, what's going on? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, it's not, like, if I were to explain it to anybody without spoilers,
yeah,
it would sound like a very cliche spy story, but with kind of a modern twist.
Yeah.
Because the evil villain, played by Samuel Jackson, his whole thing is that he's way into saving the environment. But mm-hmm. to an extreme point where he's realized that the only way to save the environment is to kill a whole bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to stop him. Right, but it's the style of the movie. It's the action that takes place in the movie.
Yes.
Just the overall tone and mood and, like, even demeanor of characters
mm-hmm.
in the movie that make this movie what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I can't recommend it enough. It's a really good movie. Like, I don't want to, like, everything that I really loved would be major spoilers. Like,
yes.
Like, I think it's been out there about the church scene. Like, all I'll mention is the church scene.
Yeah.
But that was probably one of the best action sequences I've seen mm-hmm. in a long time in action movies.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, Colin Firth did that all himself.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What? So, he trained that when he first wanted the part, the director was like, listen, I can give you this part. You have the acting chops. But there is a couple scenes in this movie where you are going to need to train for months on end.
Yeah.
And because we're not going to CG this, we're going to do this one take all through the church.
Cool.
And he's like, I got it. And so he trained, he did it. And that was all Colin Firth.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
I can't believe you looked it up in that detail.
I really like this movie.
Mm.
If I could break the scale and go above a 5.
You can't.
I can't. Okay. So it's like a 5. And it's wanting to burst at the seams.
Mm. I think the biggest thing about this movie is that it's fun.
Yeah. It's a very fun time.
Yeah. I think the only downside that a lot of people said is that it's really violent, like, needlessly violent.
I think that's part of the charm.
That's the thing, right? Like, again, this is all from critics' perspective. They think it's needlessly violent, but for other people, it's like, man, it's just so cartoony that it didn't even matter. Yeah. For example, the part when they were playing the song by Casey and the Sunshine Band, and people's, you know, noggins were turning into fireworks.
Yeah.
That the people said, like, oh, it's so violent or whatever, right? But it's like, but it was done in a funny way, right? To us,
yeah.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, is that there's a lot of British slang.
Yeah.
So it might be a little bit hard to understand.
I found it perfectly fine.
But it's because you watched Top Gear and whatnot.
Yeah, you were like, part of your body was born in Britain.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
So,
this is all true.
Yeah, so it is funny, though, if you do are into the slang and lingo.
They also use it so much and so frequently that you kind of learn the lingo over the course of the movie.
Yeah, there's a lot, yeah. There's a lot of the F word dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. And he talks just like, you know, a regular teen who lacked.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a little shit with.
Yeah, a lot of F bombs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good physical power.
Yeah, I think this movie was really, really, really fun. I like the style of it all. Makes me want to get a nice tailored suit.
We need to get suits.
We need to go get suits.
And yeah,
learned about being a gentleman.
That girl who had the stilt legs or the
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought she was the girl from Glee, but she's not the girl from Glee.
No,
she looks like if a young Jordana Brewster.
No,
like if she went back in time.
No, TJ's sitting over there. He's shaking his head at you.
He's like, no, you're completely wrong.
No.
I think that's what she would have looked like as a
teenager. I think it was the haircut,
probably, but. She looked like a young Jordan.
No. I agree with everything you guys have said. I have a bit more problems with it than you guys have mentioned.
I have no problems with this movie.
Okay, number one. Okay, I'm going to just... Okay, I have one small problem and I have one big problem.
Okay.
I'll start with a small one. The girl character has no use in this movie whatsoever.
Absolutely not.
She could have been gone.
And we're talking about his love interest, obviously, in there. In their training sequence, right?
Yes.
No, yeah. She totally gets replaced at the end for a princess.
Yeah. And when that happens, I'm like, you just threw away an entire character, which, to be fair, you barely fleshed out and you barely focused
and
on.
I wonder what she thinks, you know, since she has obviously going to hear and see it all.
Yeah.
I've always found that she, I always thought that she was more of a character less to be incorporated into the story and more of to be a comparison point. For where Eggsy is within the training.
I don't know if I agree with that, because then what's the whole point of the dog? What's the point of the main antagonist in the training camp?
You guys are so funny.
Yeah, true.
Delving so deep.
And then I thought that maybe she was just there to show his softer side. I'm like, no, wait, that's what his mom and little sister's for.
Yeah.
So
then I'm like, she really has no purpose, because in the second half of the movie, you're like, okay, you're going to space, bye.
Yeah.
And then she's just cheering on her own in, like, Iceland.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like she's so supportive of Eggsy, and then he just goes and
he does his own thing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
And what's your big problem?
My big problem is the movie blew its load early.
When? Oh, with Colin Firth.
With the church scene.
Yeah, and then the last of it was
kind and
of downhill.
The kid. For as great as his action scenes were, they just never measured up.
Yeah,
and the back half of the movie just never, like, even the final fight scene, I was just like. It was nowhere near as exciting.
It was really, really corny.
Yeah, it was actually really corny.
Yeah.
And really, like, it sort of made it up with his final lines with Samuel Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But after the church scene, I was just like, it's just a downward slope.
As someone who, I think I am a connoisseur of action movies.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the best action scenes.
Yeah.
Of, like, in my mind of all time.
The church scene.
The church scene.
Yeah.
Like, it is...
Yeah,
it is mind-blowing.
It's a difficult thing, but I think they're hedging on the fact that, you know, this is to show Eggsy's high point.
Yeah.
So I guess that's supposed to, like, coast you through. So
yeah, this is supposed to, like...
Even you
that,
out.
That whole scene is just there to emphasize that Eggsy has to make an important decision and move forward with his life, but...
There's also that point where, at the end of the church scene, they kind of use that section as, like, because they bottleneck the story point with Eggsy because something happened.
Yeah.
And so they use that to get him back into the story, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But still, that's... Oh, my God. I just want to go see the church scene. Like, can I just pay, a quarter of a price and just watch
long.
The church scene?
Yeah, the movie's like 2.5
hours. No, the church scene was long.
Oh, yeah, it went on for...
They played all of Freebird. That song is, 9 minutes long.
He was killing dudes for 9 minutes. There was no... There was only some breaks.
Very little, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was one of those few movies where you watch and you gotta be like, this is not in any way, shape, or form supposed to be serious.
Yeah.
This is a comic book movie.
Yeah.
Like, and it's ridiculous like that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Man. Yeah, it's good times. I want to see it again.
I also want to see it again.
Yeah. I'll wait for the DVD.
The DVD?
I mean the
digital old download. Man.
The digital download.
Ew. Ugh. For the gotta get that 4K download.
Yeah, wait for the rip.
Yeah.
The rip. Anything in your house even support 4K?
No.
Can my PS4 support 4K?
Can your TV support
4K? Oh, no. Of course not.
Chug along.
But I need to show my dominance over everyone else by having these 4K files.
Chugging along. Your PS3 is like, yeah. Oh, my God.
Running those .ts files.
That's fine.
Let's put a rating on it.
Yeah, man. Highly recommend this movie.
Yeah, same.
Jesus,
that movie's yeah. Totally worth seeing.
Check it out.
But I think this week we're all going to see 50 Shades because we have to.
From a
journalistic standpoint, we have to.
You're right.
You guys can film
as me. As an official voice.
As people who look up, like people who look up to us need to know our opinions.
I mean, we're a voice of a generation. We have to do ourselves. This is
culture.
We're a voice of an average of 700 people every week.
As an official L for all the cool things in the world.
Yeah, we need to see this. Anthony, I don't know why you're chuckling. This is serious.
This is not I don't want to see it.
This is part of the memo.
Yeah.
The Theaters in the Basement memo came out.
I don't want to see
it. It's stamped and approved.
Did you not get the memo?
I don't want to see
co-signed
it.
Co-signed as witness by TJ. And it has Mikey's seal of approval.
Yeah.
The wax seal. Yeah, the wax seal.
This is official.
Yeah. I don't want to see it.
I know you don't.
Listen, it's not about your wants anymore.
Yeah, right? it's about the needs.
It's about the needs of the people. The collective audience of Three Nerds in the Basement. Get with it.
Gross.
Time for Picks of the Week.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it on the movie track.
Yo.
Do it.
Yo, guys.
Yeah, I saw it.
An important picture was revealed.
It looks kind of was shitty, it? Though. The text could have been nicer.
Aquaman has been revealed for the Batman versus Superman movie.
Apparently he's a hottie in another show.
Game of Thrones? Yeah, Game of Thrones in, is it, not Battlestar, sorry, it was,
It was Battlestar, I think.
No, because I watched all of Battlestar.
Is it really?
Stargate.
SG-1?
Yeah, I think
or
so.
Or SG-2.
I think so, but yeah. Jason Momoa.
Momoa?
Yeah.
Momoa?
You could also look him up on the very, very, there was a show that was a sequel to Baywatch, was there not?
I don't know.
No clue.
Anyways, a very young Jason Momoa was on that show, too. So if you want to see him in red trunks.
I almost typed Jason Mimosa.
No. But yeah, no. So he... he looks like Aquaman.
He does.
Well, I guess it depends on the Aquaman.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't look like...
He's not blonde.
Arthur Curry, blonde, blue-eyed.
No.
Wait, Batman versus Superman isn't coming until 2016?
No.
Wow,
that's a long time.
No.
DC's going to be way behind.
Don't you remember? It was supposed to be this year. Then they pushed it back.
Oh, yeah. What'd they push it back for?
I think Ben Affleck hurt himself.
Oh, okay.
Because he's not big enough. He's like, my feet can still support my weight.
And so then they put it at the same release day as Captain America Civil War.
Oh. Wow.
And then they said, okay, no. We'll move it closer. We'll make it 2 months earlier. So it has, I think, a March time slot. March or April. But yeah. I really like how he looks. I've been hearing a lot of trash on the internet. Like, yo... DC sucks. They don't understand what the fans want. They need more color. They need
more orange, more green.
Yo, I'm telling you, DC's gonna do what they did with the Dark Knight. It's gonna be brooding again.
Of course.
And it's gonna be so boring.
I like those movies.
I hate those movies.
Wait, did you see? We saw Man of Steel. Was it brooding?
Yeah.
Near the end, when it was also like the Dragon Ball Z fights.
Oh yeah, I know, but like at the same time too, it wasn't funny at all.
Oh no.
He obviously killed millions of people trying to stop Zeno's line.
Exactly. I mean, I think the real telling thing is how they're going to put the Flash in here. Because I think he'll be the anchor for comedy.
Yeah,
are they going to take him from the show?
I don't know. No.
Flash Thompson? No, I heard the cast is already set.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it's... Yeah.
I don't know. I think Jason Momoa looks cool.
I think he looks really cool.
Yeah.
And cooler than Aquaman usually is, because Aquaman usually isn't cool.
Yo, yeah.
He's no Namor.
No, but apparently there's a DVD movie about him right now. Like Lord of Atlantis or something like that. It's one of those direct to direct-to-DVD movies.
Is it like a live action, or is it a, like a cartoon?
Cartoon.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And apparently it's really good, so.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
He was really cool in Injustice.
Gods Among Men.
Yeah, Gods Among Us.
Gods Among Men. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's cool. Whatever. He's neat. I like it. Unite the Seven.
I hope he talks to a fish.
Untie the Seven, you mean?
Untie the Seven.
I thought it was Unite the Seven.
I know it is, but I read it as Untie the Seven.
Oh.
Get it!
I just imagine all the Justice League have, like, Kryptonian cuffs on them.
What would that do to Batman?
I don't know.
To Wonder Woman?
I don't know.
It just hurts Superman.
It does something.
And then Wonder Woman would just break out.
Wonder Woman would be like, whatever. Bracelets of Truth. Clack, clack.
Exactly.
Lasso of Truth. Bracelets of whatever.
Yeah. And then she speaks to Hera, like, my mother, blah, 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 to the god Zeus.
And then Ares comes and messes up all her junk.
Yeah.
Then God of War happens.
All her junk? Wow. Ghetto, man.
Everybody Not knows, in that way.
Everybody knows the Amazons always lose. Okay. That's
God,
it for that.
God knows they tried.
Anthony, do you have a pick of the week?
My pick is quick. It is an article from Game Informer. And I was reading an article on Polygon that is about, it was an opinion piece about length in games and, like, should it matter, should it not, in terms of, like, it a game being worth your time.
Yes.
And it linked to this one in Game Informer where it, so apparently, like, I didn't know that, right now, games as a $60 product might be too low to be self-sustaining.
Yeah.
Right, in a way, because games are just so expensive, and, like, a lot of the times they're not all selling GTA 5 levels.
Yeah, right? Adjusted for inflation, games are actually at their cheapest.
Yeah.
They've been in forever.
Yeah. And it's an article on how DLC and cosmetic DLC and stuff like that, while people may think it's outrageous, actually helps keep game prices down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a very interesting article, more towards the business side of video games rather than usually the kind of artsy side and the how does this game make you feel side,
mm-hmm.
right? It was just a very interesting article. They reference when Skyrim, what was the Oblivion came out, when Bethesda first released their horse armor.
Yeah,
that thing was like, even though it was mocked in like a lot within the industry, it sold gangbusters and it helped Bethesda to create new games.
Cool.
And it's almost like some may think of it like a necessary evil almost, but I've never really had a problem with cosmetic DLC because it is purely optional.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, like I don't, if it's just purely cosmetic, I don't have a problem because there's always been a time where something comes out, I'm like, that looks cool, I'm gonna feel bad, but I'm gonna buy it.
Yeah, right. Like I've done that for Street Fighter. Like I bought tons of costumes.
Yeah, I did that with the Persona games, and I don't even play those fighting games.
Yeah, I have all the colors in that game, but. Yeah, it's just a very interesting article towards, it's very easy to get outraged when you see, like, oh, they're selling, a red-skinned version of something for $2 mm-hmm. on the store.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, on the other hand, if you want another game like this, or if you want some sort of sequel or another big game from a franchise that they also, like, that the company also makes, it's like,
yeah.
Based on game sales alone, it's not going to offset the cost of making that previous game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be able to push them forward towards the next game. So it's just a very interesting, insightful article that if you're deep into the game like I am, then it's some inside baseball stuff. Mm-hmm. Check it out.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That was it.
Blaine, do you have a pick of the week?
I do.
Cool.
I forgot to mention the other time that Magic's releasing its final core set this year.
What do you mean by final?
Like, you know how usually they have a Magic 2014, Magic 2015?
Yeah.
And they're abandoning that. It's gone.
What?
Yeah, because what they want is they want to make two... I think I told you guys about this, like, last year.
Yeah,
where
you
they're
did.
Just going to do two sets each time per block.
There's, like, two small ones and two big ones?
No, one small, one big.
One small, one big, okay.
And then, or is that it? Or two medium, I don't know. There's only two set blocks. And yeah, this is the last core set. So what they're doing this time around is it's going to be called Origins.
Origins.
So it's the story of all... Or the five main Planeswalkers... Before they were Planeswalkers.
Cool.
So there's all this art about people who were like, you know, the before form, like Liliana, who's like the Black Planeswalker, she's a necromancer. She's like, she's a healer from her world. And then afterwards, she's like, you know, surrounded by dead. So it's going to be everyone before and after. So it's going to be pretty cool. And apparently that's coming out this year. And hopefully it's going to be a lot of fun as the final core set. They can leave it in a hurrah.
Have they announced any, like, card spoilers or anything?
No, just art. But they're going to do it at some expos coming up.
I just wonder if, because they're it's before their Planeswalkers, like, so if you'll have, like, a Liliana or a Jace, but on a non-Planeswalker type card.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Like, it'll probably be just their likeness on a card or something, like, their reference in the card. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they're going to be, you know, a card actually.
Yeah, like, I want to drop a 2/3 Jace that has tap, do something.
Yeah, maybe. So, yeah, that's what's coming up.
Cool. So. Small thing. Last week, I told you guys, when we were recording, it was Toy Fair, and I couldn't keep up with all the news. Mm-hmm. I read some of it, didn't get through all of it. There's a lot of cool things, but I'm only going to add one more thing that I want to talk about.
All right.
You guys remember Ultra Magnus?
Yes.
Ultra Magnus?
Yes.
Sure.
He looks like the white Optimus Prime, only he has a whole set of armor over him.
And he's a cooler name.
Yeah, and he's very, what's the word, straight-laced.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? He's the, I follow rules.
He's lawful good.
Rules follow me.
Yeah. Awful good. So Hasbro said, okay, we're going to finally release an updated Ultra Magnus. And this one, it looks really cool. Because for years, fans have been in a debate on whether Ultra Magnus is just a standalone character. Like, is he just one body?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he an Optimus body with a suit of armor over top?
Okay.
He's the latter.
Yes and no.
What?
So in the recent comics they revealed... You know how... What powers a Transformer?
Spark.
A spark. That's essentially the mechanical soul.
Yeah.
So they opened up Ultra Magnus, and inside, he didn't have a spark. He had a smaller robot piloting him. And it turns out, for every generation of Transformer... Like, the way they write it right now in the comic, I think, is for every generation of Transformer, there always has to be an Ultra Magnus. That's just part of the legend. But the armor itself is sentient, like it's on its own. But it doesn't know that it's being piloted.
What?
And I guess the person inside has like Napoleon syndrome or something?
Something like that, yeah. Right. And so this toy will mimic that. And so it's basically like, it's an Ultra Magnus toy, but inside his chest, there's a smaller robot in there.
He doesn't know he's being piloted?
Yeah, he didn't know.
Who? So... Do they ever talk about who's inside?
They do. His name is Minimus Ambus, and like they just revealed this in the comics very recently.
Oh.
And, like, I...
So they don't know why he's... Why... How did he get possession of the armor and everything, too? Is that going to be explained?
It's all, like, pseudo-explained. It's just, like, it's every generation needs an Ultra Magnus, and someone needs to wear the armor.
It's called Minimus Ambus?
Yeah. Yeah. It's messed up.
Yo, dog, Transformers are weird.
But I was just like... That's fucking cool.
You're into it, eh?
It's a robot piloting a robot.
I don't know why. I love it when, like, robot toys have a working cockpit and you can shove someone in there.
Yeah. Like another robot.
Yeah. Yeah, and that other robot transforms into, like, this little sports car. So we can leave the armor. It's so cool.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Wow.
There you go.
Man, Transformers are weird.
They are very weird. But they're cool. I like them. I like transforming robots. It's time for a week's.
We're just mowing through this episode. Let's go.
Yes, we are, because we need to get on to hunting.
We got a clock to go.
Yeah. We're on a schedule, guys.
Yeah, and Curzio's waiting.
Yeah, he is. Curzio is waiting for
That's
us.
That's so inside, even I didn't get it.
I know.
You're not supposed to get it.
Yeah, because it's your fault.
Yeah.
You know, we invited you, and you didn't hunt with us.
Yeah. I was out.
And we had a new friend come in.
Yeah.
I was out.
From the ether. And he disappeared just as quickly.
Hey, Curzio, where are you?
Yo, if you're in Curzio, Monster Hunter messages, we need you back.
Yeah, we do. So yeah, I don't know. I'll start with myself, because mine's very quick.
Do it.
This week, I played this game.
Is it called Monster
Hunter? No, that's the other game I played. I played this other game called Opening the Books and Read Them.
That's not a game.
And then, when I got to the end of that game, I played this new game called Come In and Write a Test. I did that 3 times this week.
Was it called Midterm?
Yeah.
The Midterm games?
Oh,
it was part exciting. 1, part 2, part 3.
Part 3.
I think I did pretty good.
Did you?
Yeah.
That obviously means you did bad.
Of course.
That's what I, like, always in my midterms was like, yeah, I think I did, like, total garbage. And it's like, 90. And it's like, oh, I think I did really good. 50. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So I did that. That's why I wasn't able to play with most of you guys during the week.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're being a responsible human being.
I know. I was like, shit.
Boo.
I know. Babe. I feel bad.
I feel good.
But then after that was done, I played Monster Hunter.
Yeah, like nonstop.
I'm going to open my 3DS and just check out my armor level.
Yeah, my game level. Clock's insane. I didn't even know there were that many hours in the day.
There aren't.
Yeah, I just don't know how many hours I have.
It's bad for our health, I think. Hey.
So I'm Hunter rank 4. 54 hours. Yeah, I think I'm doing pretty good.
I think mine's 56.
I think I have like 30 something.
Oh. And Corsio, where are you at?
Get this plebeian out of my face.
Yeah, yeah. It's bad. I think about that. It's like, man, that means at least, you know, the last week we played, at least we played, it was like we played 5 hours each day throughout the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah.
That game's really good.
Bad.
Yeah. It's something.
It's bad.
Yeah. It's bad but good.
It's bad. It's bad. This is like my hibernating game. I think when the sun finally comes out and it's not negative a million outside.
Yeah.
But when they release the Boktai version where you can only fight this monster while you're out in the sunlight.
Yo, die.
I can't wait. Because me believe in new 3DSs, I can't wait till this has amiibo support. And we get special amiibo only quests.
Are you going to go to Walmart and get your exclusive gold Mario?
What?
No. I'm going to get my gold Monster Hunter.
Okay. Yeah, imagine there's like a Hunter rank. Yo, how jelly would you
have? I would buy that amiibo straight.
But you wouldn't even be able to use it.
Yeah, I would.
No.
On regular 3DS, there's a little, like, it's like a pad. Oh, and it connects via infrared.
You're going to buy it.
Yeah, it connects via infrared. It's
fucking sick. How are we going to remedy that? Can we break his DS?
Dog.
Punch its in.
Sensor. But yeah, no. That's it. I haven't done anything else. I mean, I wanted to keep up with other hobbies, but I just didn't.
No, it's not you didn't. It's that you could not. Yeah, Monster Hunter takes priority over everything.
You're right. It is all Monster Hunter's fault. I hate you, Monster Hunter.
Isn't
you
it ruined true? My life. Apparently in Japan, like, it lowers, like, productivity, right?
So, Monster Hunter
I'm being serious.
Yeah, like, so it's almost like in the same rumor mill as when, like, Space Invaders first came over there.
Yeah.
And they, like, ran out of yen.
Yeah.
Like, the coins, like, the 100 yen coins, because all of them
were... Is that not a true fact, then?
That was, like, so it's not as extreme as people say.
Okay.
But there was actually, like, less 100 yen coins on the market, because everyone was pumping it into
Space Invaders. The Monster Hunter thing.
Oh, the Monster Hunter thing. I've heard that, like, when Monster Hunter comes out, like, it's kind of a slow work week.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But, like, so Monster Hunter recently just passed 30 million in worldwide sales.
It's so good!
30 million... Or not 30. 3 million in worldwide sales.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, sorry. but only, like, I think it was, like, 200 or 300,000 of those sales are from North America.
So that means, like, almost every person in Japan.
Whole buttload of people in Japan, or people who have been imported the version because they didn't want to wait, have now that game.
Is this only 4G? 4G
and Ultimate? Yeah, 4G and Ultimate, yeah.
Wow.
Yo, isn't that so? That's a nutso mundo. Yeah.
I don't know what 4 regular was.
Yo, Capcom, get there!
So, guys... If you haven't played Monster Hunter, just play Monster Hunter.
Yeah, man.
I've been liking it.
We're going to go play Monster Hunter after this.
We are. We're going to hunt some stuff.
I need some Gormagala.
Oh. You still stuff on this stuff. You know who has... You know who actually has all the Gormagala stuff? No. TJ's laughing because he knows.
I know who it is.
Yeah, go. On three. 1, 2, 3.
Incursio. Oh, my God. Shut up. Incursio, I don't even know who this person is.
Yo, this guy is so strong. Every gem slot is a different skill.
So he's got like twos across the board? Like
ones. Ones.
He had handicraft, speed gathering. Yo, do you want to gem out your negative 20 fire defense? No. I'm Incursio.
I don't care.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I know, you missed out. Whatever you were doing could not compare to yesterday. Oh, yesterday wasn't the most productive hunting season, but it was the funniest.
Yeah, man. Listen, we were a group of three. Our fourth man was gone. You know who stepped up?
Incursio.
He stepped up. He came in out of nowhere.
He took a fireball to the face and instantly died.
I don't know how he died, but it was full health and none. So I assume it was a fireball. It was a good time.
I have nothing to talk about.
Yo, Pink Rathian's hard, eh? Don't get it twisted. He's not the same as regular Wrath.
Yeah.
He has like a triple backflip. He's got like the corkscrew backflip.
Doesn't even matter. He just, his bite breathes
fire. His bite breathes fire.
So it's like hella annoying. Yeah.
That's why I got Wrath armor.
I have it too, but.
No, you don't. I got Wrath armor.
Like Wrath Plus?
Got Los.
Oh, I got Ian. I got a cute little dress.
Blaine, what's your week like?
So my week's been Monster Hunter as well.
Oh.
But also, I've tried to keep up with Magic. So I played recently in a Pro Tour qualifier, preliminary Pro Tour qualifier. Basically, I have to win this to qualify. It's a local tournament so that you can qualify for the regional tournament. And if you top four of the regional tournament or top eight, depending on attendance, you can go to the Pro Tour again.
Hmm.
I made the top eight. It was five rounds for the Swiss, so you play everyone. I won my first three. I played against my worst matchup, game one. I was playing Amulet Bloom, so it's a combo deck that tries to cast unfair things early. There's a, one deck that I'm particularly scared of that has a card that says all non-basic lands are mountains. And my whole list has 29 lands, and 28 of them are non-basic lands. So I cannot beat that one specific card. Huh. And good thing for me, I answered it every time it came up. So I won that match. My second match was against... what was it against? Oh, another combo deck, but didn't have any disruption, so I comboed off first. And my last one was against another combo deck, but I just comboed off faster. And then after that, I don't ever do any of like the tournament standing stuff, but all the top four people, there were 4-3-0s. We double drew because the first and fourth seed played, and then the second and third seed played.
Okay.
And if you draw, then the first and third seed play, and then the second and fourth seed play, right? All right. Up until the Swiss, so yeah. We just double drew. So we had two extra hours to do, like, whatever.
Cool.
And then in the top eight, I lost my first round because I play a spell that says, it's a credit card, you can do something now and pay for it later, or but you lose the game if you don't pay for it. Didn't pay for it. So next time when I play that card, I'm going to put my bag on my deck so I cannot touch my deck until I pay for it. So, yeah. But the coolest thing that happened in this tournament was that my friends played against a guy who was also playing one of those cards, the credit card cards.
Okay.
It's zero mana, and you have to pay two and a black next turn or else you lose the game. It basically says you can kill target non-black creature. He was tapped out. He had three mana. He kills my friend's creature for zero mana, obviously. And on his turn, he just had to pay three mana.
Yeah.
So you killed it on my friend's turn. Then my friend plays a card that says islands do not untap. The next turn. The guy looks at his lands. It's a swamp. Like, red, a red-black land and one island. And he has to pay three next turn.
Yeah.
He looks at it. He looks at my friend and he goes, oh man, well played. Because on his untap step, he can't untap the island. He can't pay for the three.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. He just lost.
Wow.
I was like, oh, snap! Because the guy just, everything went silent. He just goes, oh man, well
played. What card is that?
Choke.
Choke? You just... Straight up, just next turn.
Yeah, it's an, how appropriately named.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's an enchantment that stays on the field that says,
oh, wow.
All islands can't untap.
That's crazy.
And then the other card that does the same thing is three and a red for boil, destroy all islands. There's a lot of island hate, so.
Man, yo, blue sucks.
So much islandism going on.
Yeah, so it's, that was my week, and I'm gonna try and get more proficient with this combo deck, because it's very, very difficult to play. It's one of the more difficult ones to play, mm-hmm. And it's fun to see that your opponent doesn't know what's going on, but hey.
What about what's the news on the streaming front?
I haven't streamed a lot lately because I've been playing Monster Hunter.
Got too many subs.
Granted. So I'm going to try and start streaming again because...
all these new followers are like, where's the content?
Yeah,
Where's the content?
I know.
I am entitled to this content, Blaven. Where is the content?
I need Vince's input, because congratulations to Vince. He has made 10,000 followers or subscribers to his YouTube.
Oh, they have, yes.
Oh, good for you,
man.
I think
most of that is the podcast, but, you know.
It's all the podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Anthony is as jealous as he usually is. Now he's starting up his own thing called Type A3.
Type A4.
Type
A4. It's one better.
And he's doing video game reviews. And there's only one sub, and I think it's himself.
I made another account, and then I subbed to it.
That's easy.
It's starting. The train's rolling. So, yeah. That's been my week. Magic and Monster Hunter. MMM.
Nice.
When you posted that status, your sub said 10,004.
Yeah.
And I was really hoping that it was going to be just 10,000 on the dot.
Yeah.
Because I was going to unsubscribe. So it would go back down to 9,999.
I was trying to get a picture right at 10,000.
But just...
It just doesn't update that way.
It's just... Your page is just so popular.
So, for the longest time, it was at 9998.
Okay.
And I got the email saying that I got the following, too.
Yeah.
But then it just didn't update on the page.
Oh, okay.
And then it just jumped to 4.
Oh, okay. Oh. So it's not like a live counter. It's like every...
No.
So
like, it updates every couple hours or something. So, that sucks. I couldn't get the picture I wanted.
Oh. You could always Photoshop it.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the point?
So it looks cool. That's
anyways, the point. My next milestone is 100K, so you won't hear about that for a while.
No, you need one of those plaques that you get from YouTube.
You gotta be at 100K.
Is that 100K? That's, I thought that was a million.
No, that's silver for 100, and then you get a million subs as the gold plaque.
Oh, wow.
Damn, dog. Anthony, you got a ways to go.
Gotta catch up.
Gotta catch up. I only 9,999 more subs to go.
Well, maybe a little bit more than that.
But yeah, so that was your week. That was it.
That was Blavin's week.
So my week, I watched a documentary.
Of course you did.
It is called Fed Up. It is about food and the food industry within the America, within the United States.
Within the America?
Within the America. I almost said that and I caught myself. Yeah. But what it starts off about is about people trying to lose weight and the obesity epidemic within America. And it's saying how when you burn a calorie, you burn a calorie, right? But when you gain a calorie, you don't necessarily gain one calorie.
Right.
Because of the type of food that happens. So, like, if you get sugar from, like, a Skittle, it is not the same as getting the same amount of sugar from a fruit.
Yeah.
Because there's fiber in it. There's other stuff to help your body break it down and all this stuff. But it goes into this very... interesting route where it's kind of like the food industry is almost like this, well, it is this kind of like evil conglomerate that is always
yes.
That is just always pushing their food agenda on you. And it's like they're showing how it's not always because a person's fat.
Yeah,
sometimes it is not their fault. Like even from the 1980s, gym memberships have doubled.
Yeah,
but obesity is still a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they're saying that food companies and just like big like snack companies and all that, the way they market food and the way they label food nutrition facts mm-hmm. on their food is very unfair and misleading to the general public.
Yeah.
And it sugar doesn't have a percentage near while fats, iron, all that all has a percentage, sugar does not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's like through the government. The government made it so that sugar didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. And, like, sugar's, like, this big evil thing. But it was a very interesting documentary. I learned a lot of things just about food in general that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And about, like, things like the sugar company, how they lobby and stuff to get... to kind of hide actual facts of how much sugar is really in your product.
Of course. Or so you wouldn't buy it.
Yeah, right? It's kind of nuts. And it kind of made me not want to eat, like, anything. It's like, I need to go...
Well, I don't know if I would go to that.
I need to go get a garden and just grow everything myself.
Yeah, but what about the seeds, man?
Sorry, those Monsanto, copyrighted seeds?
Yeah.
My bad. That's comic book evil.
I know.
Have you heard about that, Blavin?
That's my goal.
Yes,
that's terrible.
That's my goal.
How could I have not have heard of it?
That is... Oh, that's so crazy.
It's comic book evil.
It's literally... They are a comic book villain. They are a Bond villain.
That's how you make money.
Monsanto is a Bond villain. They are copywriting nature.
Yep.
Farmers, you are not allowed to replant seeds.
No, you can't.
Made by the Monsanto Corporation. And, like, they're suing farmers when seeds, like, blow over into other farmland and they don't even know and, like... That's messed up, man. Whatever. But
well, within their right. They work hard to make those seeds.
But,
you know what else I heard is crazy?
What?
Governments are trying to place ownership rights on things you find in space.
What? Yo, that's the start of Gundam!
they're like, if we mine this asteroid, sorry, you gotta pay tax on that. And it's like, what?
What are you talking about? That's stupid.
It's like out of all the things to be far-reaching.
Yeah.
Literally, it's in space.
But think of this. Like, which country would you pay the tax to?
And that's...
It's like all of them.
So that's literally the storyline of Gundam.
Yeah.
Of people moved to space, and Earth wanted to still govern space people.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, son. Char's gonna come over here and wreck all your shit.
Yeah.
So who wants to be Char?
I don't know. That's funny.
Someone's gotta volunteer.
Yeah.
Comic manga has predicted the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so, on a lighter note, the documentary is really good, by the way, it's very interesting.
Fed up.
Yeah, fed up. And then, on a happier note, I've been playing, Harmonite. It is a 3DS downloadable game. It was part of the Nintendo Club thing.
Right, yeah, coins.
So I got, with my coins, I could have got a Majora's Mask, messenger bag.
You missed out.
But I didn't get it because it was kind of tacky.
You missed out.
But I got a case that holds a whole bunch of 3DS games because I'm living that physical life. And
sadly.
Then
L-I-F-E?
Yeah. And then I got Harmonite on a download. And so the game is a rhythm game. It's made by Game Freaks, the guys who make Pokemon.
Yeah.
And apparently it was just like a little side thing, like a little side game. And you get pretty much it's pretty much treble clef, but as a staff. Or like it's some sort of note.
Oh, that's your weapon?
Yeah, your weapon is like an eighth note. But okay. As a staff, and it's almost like an endless runner where you run to a song, and then as beats happen, you have to either hit enemies or jump over obstacles. And you have to save the music princess from the evil space aliens who are trying to destroy music or whatever.
Right.
And it's very light, it's very fun. But the cool thing about this game is that they have mixed versions of the Pokemon songs.
Oh, cool.
In the game. So you can play, like, the gym theme. You can play the Bicycle Road theme, Pokecenter theme, and stuff like that as you're going through the game. But other than that, it's just a rhythm game, and I just, like, I have this weak spot for rhythm game. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be very good. It just has to be very responsive.
Yeah.
And this game is, and the beats are... None of it's memorable, because it's all instrumental stuff. It's not like, I'm not going to be singing it or humming any of these tunes later down the road. But it's pretty fun. It's like a good break game. Like a stage probably takes about 45 seconds to a minute. And then you go through the stages and stuff.
Cool.
And then I've also been playing, other than Monster Hunter, Majora's Mask 3DS or 3D.
Oh, this is your favorite Zelda game.
Yeah, it is my favorite Zelda game. I haven't been playing a lot, but I am super efficient at that game now. Because if you'll remember, I've talked about it on the podcast, if you've been listening for a long time, like a year ago, year and a half ago. I did a 100% run on the N64.
Oh, yeah, you did do that.
Yeah, on the N64. So I just kind of know where everything is and what to do. So I'm just like, I've only played a couple hours, but I'm already past the first dungeon. I got every 100% of that dungeon. And I've pretty much gotten everything up towards the second dungeon. And I'm just mowing through this game. So they've made a lot of different changes to this game. Obviously, it looks better. Like, people, you probably heard it before that people, like, They make this balance with the graphics where it's not so good that you're like, whoa, this looks brand new or whatever. Yeah. But they make it seem like it's how you remember it looking.
Mm-hmm.
But it really isn't. Like, this game looks significantly better if you do like side-by-side comparisons.
Yep.
So a couple gameplay changes they've made is with the touchpad in the lower screen, it's very easy to change masks and stuff, which was a pain in the ass in the old game. Also, the Bomber's Notebook... which was like a little item that you got in the original, is now a full-fledged quest log.
It's good.
Yeah, so every time you talk to an NPC and he has a side quest or something to do, you'll keep a log in the Bomber's Notebook. And for when you go back in time later, you'll have a little bar that says when this quest is active. So it's like, you can go back at this time, so it reminds you that, like, I have to do this quest, you go here at this time, start it, and then just follow the instructions pretty much. Where in the old game, it was kind of a pain in the butt because you just had to remember everything.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any sort of log. There wasn't a very handy-dandy notebook for you to just use.
I think future Zelda games need that.
Like a quest log? Like if they do side quests and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's very useful. It is insanely useful. Especially in this game when everything is very time-dependent.
Yeah.
Another thing they did is they changed the... So, if you play the Song of Time, you go back to the first day.
Uh-huh.
If you play the Song of Time backwards, you slow the time down, so you have more time. And if you play at double speed, you can warp to time in the future.
Mm.
So, in the original game, you could only warp in 6-hour increments. So, you can go to, like, the morning of the first day, the dawn of the first day, the night of the first day, second day. But in this one, you can choose any hour within the whole day, morning or night. And you can just go straight to a quest.
That's awesome.
It's so great. Yeah, and just... It's Majora's Mask. Like,
the worst Zelda game.
The best Zelda game.
Okay.
It's... It's my favorite.
Oh, the truth comes out.
It's my favorite Zelda game.
Okay, tell me.
I think it has the like some of the best ideas, and I think like maybe my second favorite is probably Twilight Princess.
Mm-hmm.
But just in terms of, like, if I were to go through history and, like, what was the Zelda game that, like, changed Zelda, it'd be Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
Right? It's just like how Super Mario 64 like changed Super Mario forever.
Yes.
Right. It's kind of in that same vein, but it is my personal favorite Majora's Mask game. And unsurprisingly, I still love it. Going through all those different storylines. For a while, I thought they changed certain aspects. So there's a man in the Clock Tower Town. We're on the third day. He's the foreman of the construction for the festival.
Right.
And if you go to him on the night of the third day, in the N64 version, he's like talking like, all my coworkers are pansies. Like,
yeah.
The moon should just fall already. I'm going to stay here. But I talked to him in the 3DS version, and they had a different line of dialogue where he's just like, I wish my coworkers were here so I could like spend the festival with them. And like, I wish I could just scare the moon away so we can have this party. And it was almost like it was very kiddified.
They probably had to change some censorship.
And so there's like some weird censorship changes. Like I even went back to the N64 version to check it out, and they were different.
Yeah.
So there's like very little changes like that don't really matter, but kind of take away from the overall just dread theme of that game. Like you go to a place called Termina Field, like it's just terminal or something, right?
Yeah.
And there's that whole theory of like Link is dead within.
Oh yeah, this game.
Yeah, within this game, and like this game is just purgatory because of whatever. But yeah, it's this game's great. It's fantastic. If you wanted to try a very weird Zelda game, like it's not like any of the other Zelda games. It's got its own unique style, and the masks usually play a huge portion. A lot of the masks are kind of one off just for the quest.
Mm-hmm.
And let you kind of do weird animations, but some of the quests really do change up the game and how you play it.
So cool.
Yeah, I just rushed through the quest to get the bunny hood mask.
Oh.
So now I'm running at double speed and like
jumping.
I'm just jumping and I'm just mowing through everything now. So, but yeah, more Monster Hunter, and that's been my week, and more Diablo too, or Diablo 3 as well.
Cool. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap it up here?
No, that's about it.
I need to pee.
Cool. You were talking about the Pokemon Company earlier.
Or I was talking about Game Freaks.
Game Freaks.
Yeah.
And the gym music.
Yeah.
I finally bought that shirt.
Oh, the Squirtle one?
No, the gym shirt.
Oh, Pewter City?
Yeah.
Did you get it in a tank top?
They didn't have it in stock.
Ah! What is it? Pewter City gym shirt?
Yeah, it says Pewter City Gym, and it's a Geodude. And he looks like a barbell.
It's really it looks like a gym shirt.
Fan gamer.
I gotta buy. I need more gym shirts. I should probably buy one of those shirts.
They have more now. They have like Future City.
Oh, cool.
They have Saffron and Celadon, I think.
Why would you have it as a gym shirt?
Like to work out in the gym.
It says gym on it.
It's not. It doesn't look like Pokemon when you first look at
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
I know. I see it now.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks cool.
Yeah.
So. I used to order from the site. They have really fun packaging, and they send you cute little notes.
And they send you pins, and So, yeah.
Yeah, man.
I'm excited.
Man, when's that game Galaxy coming out? I want it real bad.
It's PS4 only.
I have no clue.
No, it's for 3D, or for PC as well. Remember,
what
was it? PC now, bro!
Living that Master Race? Yeah. Download Steam, hitting all the sales?
You know, I would have never guessed Blaven would have been the PC Master Race of all of us.
Say what?
I would have never guessed.
You got it. You on those humble sales? Those humble indie bundles?
No, God, I would never support Steam. Are you crazy?
Wow, super PC Master Race.
I only go on good old games.
God.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you ever want to write into us, it's over at tniab.letters@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Friend us on 3DS. Hunt with us. And Curcio, if you're out there, please receive this message.
Send it back. Run it back.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Bye.